Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
Hey, we know it's early, but it doesn't matter what time it is. If you come a-knockin', Lou is already rocking, and he's standing by, ready to roll. If you've got questions about your house, however big...
I have leaks through my bedroom and hall ceiling and going down the wall.
Small...
I have a pocket door that is off the track, and I can't open or close it.
Or crazy...
Hey, I've got a beep in my living room every 42 seconds.
Now's the time to call. Here's your host, Lou Manfredini, at House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, 7:10 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with the House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU. This hour of our show is sponsored by Ace Hardware. Good morning, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm great. I got a first good morning of the show.
You did. You got the first one, and then there's Joe, and then there's Don. Yeah. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Lou.
Oh yeah, hi. You can keep going there. Hey, mm-hmm. I have a. You know, I'm not a huge. I mean, I'm a sports fan, but I'm not a huge baseball like tactician. But when it comes to what happened to the Cubs yesterday, here's what I know: you don't score any runs, you can't win.
That's quite the case.
Joe, what do you think?
That's quite the case. That's kind of been the case for the last three exits for the Chicago Cubs in the playoffs too. It's not been pretty.
Still pretty painful.
I was super sad, like, but for both of them. It's too bad that they're both out. But I was really sad for the White Sox.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had more expectations for the White Sox than the Cubs really heading into the playoffs. And why not? They had a fantastic year. They were the best team in the American League for quite some time. And I think that kind of came down to there's some inexperience there. They ran out of starting pitching. The manager had to rely on bullpen pitching for an entire game, and that's a very tough thing to do. You almost have to be perfect in those scenarios. And I know the manager's gotten a lot of criticism this year, but that is a tough thing to do in the last game of the season. And you know what? When it came down to it, they stranded too many runners in the bases, too. They left 12 guys on. Jose Abreu came up to the plate with the chance to give the Sox the lead a few times, and it didn't happen. It was a really rough way to end it, but you know what? Nothing but good things to think about that team and that organization moving forward.
Yeah, let's hope so. I'm looking forward to it. That's good. Well, you know, we thankfully still have other sports that we can focus on. The basketball
sweat
finals.
Over. We can sweat over and worry about. And
right. Football.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Bears are in first place.
Yeah, right. Right?
Right next
Packers.
To, right
Lindsay's
next
all excited about her Packers.
I was gonna say,
Aaron Rodgers is... I read an article about Aaron Rodgers. He's so free now that he's not dating anybody. He can just focus on his supposedly his
craft.
his farewell tour with the Packers. Right? He's just going to...
Sure.
He's probably going to wipe the floor. Still would never bet... I don't like the Packers, but I'd never bet against Aaron Rodgers.
It's a shame we can't go to a game because we've got two Bears fans, two Packer fans here.
Right. Yeah, Don loves the Packers.
We can go to a game. What does that prevent us from going to a game?
Well, right
now. Outside?
Oh, yeah. I guess there is.
Have you been outside recently, Don?
It's a little colder. We can go to the parking lot. Okay, wait. Can I tell you something? This is for all of us and for everyone listening. Earlier in the week, my future daughter-in-law just had a birthday, and we went out to dinner. It was the first time and we sat outside. The four of us at the when and if ever have you been to the North Pond Cafe in Lincoln Park? Anyone?
Never.
Have not.
Oh. Hey, Joe, you got to bring your wife there. I'm telling you.
The North Pond Cafe?
Cafe in Lincoln Park. It's right on the little pond there in Lincoln Park, kind of near the zoo. And it's this classic Chicago restaurant, and there are tables outside. And we sat outside, and they have like a tasting menu. Normally, you can't get a reservation in this place under normal circumstances forever. Mm-hmm. Now they've boosted the thing, but we sat outside. It was a cool evening. They brought little blankets. It was weird that you had to wear your mask. Like when, you know, the city wants you to wear a mask when you're, unless
even
you're
sitting, right?
Correct.
Like when the waiter comes up.
Right. And the way we had a fabulous waitress named Kelly. The whole thing was great. And I mean, in that one moment when you take your masks off and you're taking your wine glasses and you're saying, you know, happy birthday, there was a moment of feeling normal, right?
Totally.
And
yeah.
And it was, and if you have an opportunity to do something like that, to A, support a restaurant, and B, to go out and feel that normalcy a little bit, so I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. North Pond Cafe, really, really good.
Got to go for those moments when we can right now.
We get right down. I totally agree. Totally, totally agree. All right. So here's the thing. Today's show, you know, October is Fire Safety Month. And so today we're going to talk, about a lot of fire safety stuff. As a matter of fact, in recognition of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling at Lindeman.com and by First Alert. Protect your whole home with reliable protection you can trust. We're going to be talking with representatives from both of those companies today. I'll share a story a little bit that happened to us as it pertains to smoke in the house, which was not good. And here I am giving you all this advice, and I need to follow my own advice as well, which I got on right away, and I want you to as well. So that's what's going to be happening today on our show. But we're also going to be taking your calls at 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. Our first call this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. And let's go to that first call. It's Angelo. Angelo, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you could answer a question if I should have my driveway sealed.
Okay.
I put a new driveway in. It's approximately 75 feet driveway of blacktop. And now I'm seeing evidence of a little sand, very slight. So I'm not sure if I should seal it or just leave it alone.
When did you have this done, Angelo?
March of 2017.
Oh, 100% you should have it sealed. I thought you just had it done. Here's the thing. With the asphalt driveway, it's asphalt, correct?
Correct.
All right. So with the asphalt driveway, when you have that aggregate, you know, it's all compacted and it's got tar and, they smash it down, whatever. But when you start to get a little bit, you get a little bit of separation, you know, the stone and water gets in there. The whole idea behind sealing it is that we kind of put a protective coating over the top and we don't allow water or ice or sand, whatever it is, to kind of creak through there. And the trick is, if you're doing this, if you just have it done, the whole kind of thing is that you want to wait until the surface starts to gray a little bit. But the fact that you've been since 2017, I'll tell you what, Angelo.
Yes.
The fall is the best time to do this. The temperatures are lower. The sun is not as hot. The sealer, when they put it down, whether you're going to do it yourself or have it professionally done, it will dry.
Yeah, I'm getting a little old to do it myself.
Okay, well, if you have it professionally done, the nice thing about that is that it will the curing process will be slower and it'll last longer. So I'm a big proponent of it, and I think you should think about doing it this fall before winter comes.
So it's just sealer. I mean, it has a
color to it. You know, it's black, and when it comes, if you're going to have it professionally done, you know, they'll come in.
Yeah.
If there's any small cracks, they'll fill that in. But it's a waterborne product that will bond. But it's actually what they call an alkaline based product, because it will bond with the oil on the surface of the blacktop. And so it has a color to it. It'll look nice and black and beautiful when they're first done. And then the trick with that is, with the snow and the ice, you want to make sure that you're not putting salt down there. I would do something like a calcium chloride or a potassium chloride. And then if you get a buildup, like you threw so much down, take a broom every now and then and brush it off so that you try and maintain the surface of the sealer longer. And it's probably about a 3-year process that you'll get out of it, and it should work out just fine for you. Angelo, thank you so much for the phone call. It is 7:18 in the morning. Hey, it's me, Lou Manfredini, for the Gilkey Window Company. You know, one of the things that drew me to Gilkey is that they're a family-owned company. Also, Gilkey sells their windows directly to consumers. I talked to Mike Gilkey and his son-in-law, Angelo, or no, Augie Angelo. I was just talking to Angelo. Augie is his son-in-law, which means this family-owned business doesn't have any middleman markups. It allows Gilkey to build better, more energy-efficient windows at exceptional value, so you reap the savings. It's true. Gilkey Window Company was recognized in 2019 by Window and Door Magazine as one of the top 100 manufacturers of windows in the entire country. Right now, take $250 off per window and take $700 off patio and entry doors, or no money down and no interest for 12 months. Visit one of their two showrooms in Chicago Ridge, open Monday through Saturday, and in Palatine, open 7 days a week, even Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. To learn more or to set up a free no-obligation in-home visit and estimate, give Gilkey a call at 888-3-GILKEY. That's 888-3-GILKEY. Or you can check them out online at Gilkey.com. You can choose vinyl or you can choose fiberglass. Just be sure to choose Gilkey. Hey, did you know a fire department responds to a fire every 24 seconds? Wow. Fire Prevention Month First Alert is reminding you to be ready for the unexpected by installing smoke and carbon monoxide alarms on every level and in every bedroom of your home. Don't forget to add First Alert fire extinguishers, too, on every level and in common spaces like the kitchen, especially if you're cooking more and you need to know how to use them. Protect your whole home with reliable protection you can trust by visiting firstalert.com at your local Ace Hardware. You know what I think that the First Alert people should do? I think that this would be a really good idea. So I do worry about fire extinguishers. And have you ever used a fire extinguisher?
No.
Joe Brand, ever used a fire extinguisher?
I have not, no.
And you're the son of a fire captain.
Well, that's why he kept everything in check. I never needed to use it.
Is Dandy Don over there? Dandy Don, you ever use a fire extinguisher?
Don, have you ever used a fire extinguisher? He's on his way. He says he has not.
Right. So this is a problem. Like, okay, it's great to go buy one, but what happens is...
I have thought about this. Oh, no, I have thought, because you're right. I mean, we have them all around the house, but I don't know what to do.
When there is a fire, you panic, right? And you're like, what do I do? And you'd grab that handle and you wouldn't know how to use it. Well, obviously, there's a release pin that you have to pull out first. But, you know, and you talk to fire fighters, they'll tell you this, is that you got to stay calm. But when you're frantic, especially if you have... Imagine if you had a fire with your girls in the house. You'd be freaking out. You'd be like, what do I do? Get them out of here, right? The First Alert people should develop a test fire extinguisher that they could have at the hardware stores that somehow we could fill with water just for a test. That then you could say, have you ever used one before? No, you take them outside to the parking lot and go, okay, pull this pin, go like this, and that's what it's going to feel like. That would really be a cool thing to provide to hardware stores and be able to show people how to do it so that they're more confident with it and teach them how to use it.
Or fill it with silly string or some decorative substance.
Oh, that's great.
Look at Don. He's always looking to have a good time.
Make it a party.
Always looking to have a good time.
Make it a party.
Some confetti.
Who's not going to want to do that?
Happy
it's great
year!
Practice. It's perfect.
Don, you are a funny man. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. And, hey, how about we give Marnie a House Smarts radio head? Hey, Marnie, are you there? Marnie? Oh, hold on. Did I lose Marnie? No. Hold on. There's Marnie. 3, 2, 1. Marnie, good morning.
Good morning. I have some questions about cracking walls.
Okay.
We have an addition off the back of our house that is, we painted it several years back, and at some point after that we had a really, really dry summer. And we have since then noticed some cracking in the walls in the room that's the addition. It's like a great room with a tall ceiling, and in the corners, you can see along where the drywall tape is that the tape kind of almost looks like it buckled or something.
Like, and it crinkled a little bit.
Now we have cracks all along that and a few other places. I'm not sure what type of person to call to have come look at it to see how serious of a situation we have.
Marnie, is the room addition, is it on a slab or is there a crawl space or a basement underneath it?
It is on a slab, and it extends a foot or two out beyond the slab. It's like sort of cantilevered off the back and at least one of the sides.
Okay. And one other thing, in that area where you're seeing all this cracking, you have windows or doors over there? Have you noticed that they're difficult to open or close or lock or anything like that?
We do have some windows that they're difficult to lock. It's not too bad to open and close them. But, yeah, and then a sliding glass door, which is difficult to open, but that's due to something else.
Got it. Okay. All right. So here's who you're going to call. One of the services that my friends over at PermaSeal offer are structural services, where they will send out a certified consultant at no charge, so you don't have to hire a engineer, to kind of take some measurements and to kind of look to see what's going on with the foundation. They can, if they determine that, you know what, Marnie, this corner of this slab is kind of dipping down here, you know, it's not quite the same, they can install what's called push piers, where they drive it down into the ground, and almost like they put this anchor on the slab. They'll dig out the corner, and it's like a 90-degree kind of pocket that will go on the end of the foundation and grab it and bolt it to it, and then they will lift it however much, half an inch, 1 inch, 4 inches, whatever it needs to be, to make it right so that we know that the addition is on solid footing, and then when you go to make those repairs, everything will stay where it needs to stay, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything for you to have them come out. Do you have a pen or a pencil? I'll give you their number.
Yeah.
All right, 800-421.
Okay.
SEAL, S-E-A-L. And if you call them, they can set up a structural consultation for you to come out and take a look. It's the best place to start.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, we're going to send you out a HouseSmarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and window. If you're working remotely and maybe you don't have enough room, let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal space in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's take one quick call here. This is Kathy in Chicago. Hi, Kathy. You're on HouseSmarts Radio.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about cleaning aluminum window frames. We live in an old condo, and they're pull-out windows, and probably 50 years of dirt and maybe oxidation on them. And how do you clean them?
Say that again. They're aluminum windows,
mm-hmm.
and the oxidation.
And they're pull-out windows.
Pull-out.
And so there's, like,
what
probably 50 years dirt inside there.
What do you mean pull out? Do you mean they crank out, or you swing them open like a French window?
No, like they're it's a Mies van der Rohe building, if that helps you in there.
Oh, okay.
And you just, you know, you pull on the levers and pull them out.
Mm-hmm. And so the oxidation is on the frames themselves.
Oh, well, that possibly because they've been painted. And then we tried to take the paint off, and then it looks like on the inside, excuse me, you know, when you pull them out on the inside of the windows, it's really kind of nasty in
so
there.
So that pittedness, that pitted area and that dirt and debris that you're talking about, what I would do is mm-hmm. give it a really good scrubbing first. And what I would try is, have you ever heard me talk about these things called a drill brush that you can put on the end of a cordless drill? It's a nylon brush, and they make a smaller one that's probably the size, the base of it's probably the size of a silver dollar, and then they have these tines on the end of it. And if you were to spray that inside frame of those windows with a product called Crud Cutter, which is a degreaser and a cleaner, spray mm-hmm. it on there, let that sit for 5 minutes or so, and then take this and use the cordless drill to really kind of scrub it and get it as clean as possible. The metal and the pitting, there's not much you're going to do with that. I mean, you could sand that down with a sanding sponge, but you're still going to have like those little pock marks in the aluminum or the metal that will be there. But it will be more consistent as far as how it looks, but it starts with a really good cleaning with the crud cutter and the scrubbing brush on the end of the cordless drill. And then from there, take a sanding sponge, as I mentioned, and kind of see if you can clean that up maybe with medium grit. And then you can decide whether or not you want to paint it again or just leave it with the bare metal. My guess is you're going to want to paint it with something. And if you do, Rust-Oleum makes a nice metal paint that you can put over the top of that. Maybe I would brush it on nice and smooth, and it should work out just fine. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, you know what? It's 7:30 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News.
Good morning. You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini. Now back to your host right here on House Smarts Radio.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big, fine car.
877-213-4-LOU. Whose leg is moving right now? Everybody's leg, right?
I don't have to run around. I don't have to stay
I'm a hip shaker.
Hip shaker? Even in a chair?
Sweet,
this is a good one.
I'm the best dancer in a chair. It's when I stand up that there's a problem.
That it all goes south. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. Hey, in recognition of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by First Alert. Protect your whole home with reliable protection you can trust. And by Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling. You can visit them at Lindemann.com. 877-213-4-LOU is the number. Yes?
Hey, by the way, my tap classes are going great.
Oh, thank you. In case anybody was wondering, tap classes going great.
Class 2 yesterday, I have to tell you, you guys are all going to... I'm going to take a video when my final performance
Can't wait. Can we watch it on Zoom? Could we share with the class?
Maybe just you.
Okay.
And Don and Joe. But I am not bad.
All right. Well, you know what?
The first class was not good.
Let me tell you that...
But I'm learning.
That confidence... Confidence means a lot when you're doing certain things in life, and you need to be confident and you need to be good. You need to think that you're good, and hopefully you can back that up with how your legs move.
Right.
Right. 877-213-4-LOU is the number. This is Tom, who's calling us from Westmont. Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. There he is.
877-213-4-LOU.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, Lou, question for you. It's electrical. My GFIs on the outside of the house are 15 watts. They're not 20. And whenever I plug a 12 or 14 gauge extension cord into them, I blow the circuit. Now, I understand you don't want to be using 16-gauge cords when you're using power tools because you can burn a tool on a power tool. So I try to use my 12 and 14. The other day I was using a Dremel. I had to plug it into a 16-gauge, and that Dremel got so hot I couldn't hold it.
Hmm.
Why are GFIs tripping when I'm using a 12 or a 14-gauge extension cord but not with a 16-gauge?
Well, let me ask you this. What's the age of those devices?
The ones in back, I recently replaced in the back porch.
Okay.
Probably about 2-3 years ago. The ones in the front patio are, I can't tell you how old.
Are
the, I've been
are the,
here
do the ones 15. Do the ones in the back do the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is okay. It because the GFI can't handle the 12 and 14 gauge extension cord?
Well, okay, so a couple things. One is... You never want to upgrade to a 20 amp. I don't want you to just think, oh, I'll just put a 20 amp GFI in there because it's
no,
all
I,
it's all
I know.
Right. It's
you
all
go
based
the other
on
way, but yeah.
Right. It's all based on the wire, right? So if you've got more than likely you have 14 gauge wire feeding that 15 amp receptacle, and what I don't know is what else is on that circuit, which could be part of the issue as well, how it's wired. So, in other words...
Well, the one in front is wired into the kitchen, you know, where you have all, over your sink and things like that. And the one in back operates off the one of our lower bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. And these... So, when you run the extension cord, what are you running, a 100-foot extension cord?
Well, the 12 and 14, they're only 50-foot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean... There could be a myriad of things. A Dremel should certainly not pop a receptacle like that. My guess is on the front side, if they're super old, I would start with replacing the devices and go with new 15 amp GFCIs. On the back side, if those are relatively new, you know, I mean, it's all based on, you know, it's all based on the draw of what tool you're using. You know, a Dremel shouldn't, the amperage on that, you know, it's probably only working off 6-7 amps when it's running. And so that shouldn't be a problem whatsoever, even with the startup. On something like, you know, if you're using a blower or a trimmer or something like that, those can use 12 amps when they're running and have a startup of over 15, which can pop it. Does it seem pop after? Does it seem to pop after you're using it for a while, or right away?
As soon as I turn the tool on.
Yeah, yeah. The only other thing I would suggest is a brand new extension cord to see if that makes a difference.
Well, the 14 and 12 gauges are pretty new because I purchased them so I can use power tools outside because I know.
Yeah.
You know, using 16 gauge, it creates quite a bit of heat on the tool, which burns out the motor.
Correct. And now, when you use a 12, if you're using a 12 gauge extension cord, you know, you've created a nice pathway. But remember that if I'm only feeding the electric, if I'm feeding the electric with a 14 wire, and then I take a 12 gauge wire after that, it's a lot like plumbing, right? If I come up with a riser with a 1-inch line so I can get the volume of water, but then I reduce it down to 1/2 inch to connect to the faucet, I'm only getting the 1/2 inch of water. So that tool is like trying to suck the energy right down that big, huge extension cord, but the wire on the other side of the device is thin. So it's like trying to, you know,
yeah, I understand.
It's like a milkshake, and you're a really thick milkshake.
So a funnel effect.
Correct. It's an absolute funnel effect. And so if your goal is to, you know, you be able to use these power tools, you may need an electrician to run a dedicated circuit to either the front or the back and run new wire from your panel so you can run a 12 gauge to a 20 amp GFCI out there so that you have the proper setup. I mean,
yeah, I thought of that too, but I mean, you know, that's expensive.
No, I understand, but it's a lot cheaper. Here we are talking about fire safety. It's a lot cheaper than causing a fire, you know, if this thing blows or keeps popping and driving you crazy. So, I mean, it would be the better way to go, in my opinion, but it's up to you. But I think that rewiring it and doing a dedicated circuit would be definitely the way to go. I appreciate the phone call. Hey, your carpets? No. People looking to update their bath. That's what it is, right? They often ask me what company to use. I don't have to think too hard. Bathfitter is the easy answer. They've been installing luxury tubs for over 35 years. They're true professionals from top to bottom. Bathfitter will custom make your new bath to fit perfectly over the existing one. And their one-piece seamless wall system ensures a watertight fit, making it easy to maintain. Now, their design options are endless, so you're sure to find a tub you're going to love. Bathfitter tubs come with a lifetime warranty. That's how high quality their materials are. The installation will be done by one Bathfitter technician who will complete the install in just one day, following strict safety protocols. Now, to ensure your well-being throughout the process, kickstart your bathroom remodel today with the experts at Bathfitter. Go to bathfitter.com/Lou to book your free consultation. And for a limited time, Bathfitter is offering $450 off a complete Bathfitter system. Just go to bathfitter.com/Lou to get started.
Bippity boppity boo. If only there was a magic wand to make it all go away. We're all searching for new and effective ways to curb or, heck, stop the spread of COVID-19. And over the past few months, there have been tons of ideas, one of which are these ultraviolet sanitizing wands. While it might not be the magic wand we actually want, the wand we're featuring this morning as our new to Lou 2 might help. Essentially, these wands are big flashlights that produce sanitizing UVC blue light instead of the traditional white light that theoretically disinfects at a distance for as long as you can power them. Our new Tulu 2 is the Fight UV Protect Disinfecting Wand. This portable wand emits UVC germicidal ultraviolet light that can inactivate harmful viruses, bacteria, and fungus. All you have to do is position the wand about an inch or two from the surface you wish to disinfect, point the light, and hold down the button to activate. You get up to 20 minutes of continued use on a fully charged battery, and it's recharged with a micro USB cable. While UVC light truly does act just like a disinfectant, it does take time to work. This wand in particular is about an inch by 8.5 inches, so while you aim the light at whatever you're disinfecting, you've got to do it for at least 30 seconds for it to fully work, and it only disinfects the area the light touches. So for larger items, the wand might not be the best bet, but items like keyboards, your phone, a remote control, those are where it's at because that light's going to get inside all those cracks and crevices you might miss. The wand we are talking about from Fight, again, it's just as effective as the other ones, but it also happens to be one of the lesser expensive wands out there, coming in at about $70. You can find out more about the Fight UV Protect Disinfecting Wand by visiting fight.com or check out Lou's Instagram or Facebook because I'm going to put all this information up right now. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
Okay, so what do you think about the wand? I think it's cool.
I do too. So if you were listening, I know you just told me that you don't listen.
No, that is not what I said. Keep going.
Well, I'm just kidding. But the reason that I like it because so my keyboard right here in front of me, these keys are gross.
Right.
I mean, I try to clean it, but there's no way that I can, like, get in unless I, like, dismantle the whole thing.
Well, right. I mean, obviously, you want to wipe that down because you don't want to get the dirt and debris in there. But I think that so much of this with that wand and the whole fact that UVC light has been used in HVAC systems for a long time. And I have it in our house where we have the UV lights in the furnace now. And it's great for people with allergies and asthma. And it does kill that bacteria. But this is a way for you to have the power in your hand. And what I do like about this wand is they have a safety feature because, of course, you cannot. It has to point down. So you never want to have that light look up at you or have the risk of. This is not. In no way is this a toy, and your children should be using this whatsoever. But if you were to tilt it, the light goes out. You know, there's a safety feature it, which I really like. And you're right. All those kind of. The equipment or things that you use on a daily basis.
But 30 it takes a while.
Yeah, you got it. The 30 seconds, right.
But I mean, 30 seconds for like, so, you know, you kind of have to go for the
30 seconds
the
if you're holding that. It's a long time. Right. It isn't like you can just click your fingers and go. And it's an investment because the prices range quite a bit. And this Fight one that you said is around $70, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the phone soap thing that we featured a couple years ago?
Right.
That was another one that was... At the time, I was like, this is kind of lame. I mean, not lame, but...
Who would spend that
like,
money?
Who would spend... Right, and who would...
Just for a phone.
Is it really that important?
Right.
But now, I mean, I think their business is off the chain.
Well, right. And the thing with the phone soap product is it really was designed for your phone. That's all it could do. And so with this wand, you really could sort of do a lot more. Right. You could still do your phone, flip it, and get it all done. And I like it. And I think that if you're someone that... is concerned about this and you want to do whatever you can to reduce bacteria and, you know, germs and whatnot, definitely check it out. And you're going to post that up on Facebook and
That's
Instagram,
right? Yep.
All right. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Dan in Barrington Hills. Dan, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, good morning, Lou. I bought the house in 2001. And my well water has worked fine, and I'm just thinking, you know, that's 20 years, and if it was there just 5 years before I got here, and it was built in 1978, you know, if I wanted to replace it, what would you recommend? I mean, a stainless steel tank. What's really good for the?
Wait.
And if I put the tank in,
replace what? You mean dig a new well?
No. Replace the pump in the well and replace the pressure tank.
Yeah. Everything's working fine right now?
Yes.
20 years, you've never had to replace a pump?
No.
That's amazing. And have you had this inspected by a well company yet?
Not yet.
Yeah. So I would start with them. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. My experience with wells is very limited. And so the fact that you had a pump that lasted that long and, you know, your pressure tank that you're talking about now, they do make stainless steel pump tanks, but most of them are metal because they're, you know, it's a sealed system. So it's not unlike a boiler system where once, unless the air gets in it, inside the pipes, you really don't have a problem with it. And they're painted on the outside. You may get a little bit of rust on the outside, but it doesn't factor in at all in the pressure tank on the inside. But if you're looking for some peace of mind, Dan, then I would get a well and septic company to come out, do an inspection. They'll probably recommend saying, hey, you've gotten your money's worth out of this pump. They'll pull that pump out of there, drop in a new one. You know, they're typically cast iron pumps or they're stainless pumps that they use. Again, once they're underwater and air is not exposed to them, the sealed pumps just run and run and run, which has been proven in the fact that you've gotten 20 years out of this. And, you know, it could be a couple, well, not a couple grand, but it could be $1,000 to $1,500 to do all this. And but it'll give you the peace of mind that everything's working correctly.
Is there a brand of pump that you prefer, Lou?
Well, with well pumps that are designed for domestic water, they're specific. I think that Zoeller makes a pump for that, but I'm not 100% sure. It wouldn't surprise me if they use a product by a company called Wayne. Wayne is very popular when it comes to pumps in wells. I will tell you this. When it comes to a well contractor, it's just like an HVAC contractor. The equipment is all very similar, but it's the people that you get to do the work that that really do make a difference. You want somebody with a lot of experience. It would be, Lindsay, I want to work on that because we do, I mean, even though there's a lot of people that have wells and septics, you know, that listen to the show, and I would like to talk to a well contractor to get a little bit more experience and have a conversation with that. Let's talk about that after the show today to see if maybe we can set that up for next week or after that. Dan, thanks so much for the phone call. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. 7:56 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. We'll be back right after this. You know my obsession with the names? You know my obsession with the names? Jack Patak, he just did the garage thing, Jack Patak. And then Christine Dupape. And then who was the other one? There was another one we had.
Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel. Okay, so there's a guy now who's running for office, and I think his name is like Matlock or Matlack or something like that. And so, like all these names, there are all these consonant names going. But what's interesting about that commercial is it's a politician, and he's got these kids. He's like, Dad, how do you spell elephant? You know, and it's like fun, cute little things. But then his son asked for the car, okay? His son's voice sounds like he's Orion Samuelson. And so I'm like, the son sounds older than the dad when I'm trying to meet all these people, get them all together. I'm just throwing that out there. When you hear that commercial, tell me you don't think that the son sounds older than the father who's running for the office, whatever it is, and he wants the keys to the car. Just throwing that out there. Speaking of cars, they say if you don't like the weather around Chicagoland, just wait 15 minutes. It'll change. You have to be ready for anything. The Chevy Equinox has switchable all-wheel drive that keeps you protected in every type of weather, on the road or off the road, highways, country roads, you name it. Safety has never been more important. And with low-speed forward automatic braking, lane departure warning, and side blind zone alert and forward collision alert, you're in control of your environment. Now, the Chevy Equinox gets you where you want to go safely. Right now, get $4,750 cash allowance on most 2020 Chevy Equinox models. Plus, current GM owners get an additional $750 cash allowance, adding up to big savings. Now, if you're in need of a new vehicle, but you don't want to visit a dealership, check out Chevy's Shop, Click, and Drive. You shop online 24/7. You take delivery at home. It's simple. It's safe. It's seamless. It's smart. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Schedule a test drive today. Change is good. And now the time to change. It's time to change your ride. It's 8:01 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News.
Well, Mr. Castorini, what do you think?
$10,800.
That seems like a lot.
Look, there are three kinds of pipe. There's the kind of pipe you have, which is garbage. Then there's rocks, which is pretty good.
unless something goes wrong. And something always goes wrong. And then there's cotton, which is the only fiber I use. It costs money.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
It costs money because it saves money.
And House Smarts Radio.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
It costs money because it saves money. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. Coming up a little bit later on this morning, we're going to be speaking with somebody from Lindeman Chimney, actually Michael Bodart, the president of Lindeman Chimney Company, as well as somebody from First Alert to talk about the devices that they sell and that they make, that we can talk about making sure that that stuff's all updated. You know, we had an issue come up in our home that was a little bit scary. We had a little grease fire in the oven. And my wife called me. I was outside. I came inside, and she had made this amazing pulled pork the night before, and obviously the grease had bubbled over onto the bottom of the oven, and it caught on fire when she was making scones early in the morning because she makes amazing scones. And I had the wherewithal. I stayed calm. I see the fire inside the oven, and I was like, do I want to get a fire extinguisher? It's in the oven at this point. And I ended up opening it up slowly, and I took the racks out. I took a damp giant towel. I got it wet real quick, and I know that that's not, but what I did is smothered the fire inside the oven. But this is the point. The house was full of smoke. Now, it wasn't a heavy smoke. It was more like, it was lighter smoke. Not a smoke detector went off inside the house. I was like, what's going on? If I burn some toast, the thing goes off. And I needed to replace, which I have, the smoke detectors. So do that if you're not sure. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up a little bit later on. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. This is Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning.
How may I help you, sir?
All right. My issue is I've got a PVC shower floor. When I put it in 5-6 years ago, I put it in on a base of sand, and it was terrific until I developed a foundation crack, which washed some of the sand out.
Mm.
Now I've got voids under that floor, and it's soft in spaces, and I didn't know if there's anything I can put in there short of pulling that base out. I thought of maybe trying one of those expandable foams, but nobody seems to know if that'll work.
Mm-hmm. Can you get at it from the back side or anything like that?
I can get at it from the front side because it has a baseboard, so I can see the bottom 3 inches of it, drill some holes, and put a tube in.
Right.
But the other three sides are finished walls.
Right. Okay, so the issue there is the expanding foams tend not to be rigid enough, you know, that in other words, there's give in it. And what I'm thinking of, and I don't know that you can buy this, but, you know, PermaSeal does this thing called PolyLevel, where they use a polyurethane to actually lift concrete, okay?
And right.
And I'm not 100% sure what type of polyurethane that is. It obviously is one, because they can, with precision, they can lift up a slab or a sidewalk or whatever it is, and then when it does cure, which it cures in a couple of hours, it's like rock solid. So
okay. That
is a certain type of polyurethane. And the question becomes, Bill, can you buy that? And that I don't know. But in other words, I don't want. We got to find out what that is, and maybe I'll do a little digging and see if I can come up with an answer for you of a structural polyurethane to see if, in fact, it's something that the average person can buy. Now, it isn't anything that you can buy and do this, you know, like lift your own driveway, because you need specialty tools to drill all that stuff. But what you're using,
sure,
the key is not to overfill it, because if you overfill it, you'll lift the base up, and then you've created a huge problem. But regular...
I've got a dome.
Right. A regular great stuff and that kind of product is not going to work for you. It's just not going to be the right stuff. So I don't have an answer for you right this second, but you're looking...
Okay,
go ahead.
I had another thought. Perhaps this might jog something in the back of your mind. They also make an aerosol fire stop. So in construction, they can seal plumbing and electricians, their tubes and stuff to floors.
Yep.
That's also an expandable foam, and it dries hard. What do you think of that idea?
Well, my only concern is that you can't see what you're doing.
Yes.
So right? So the question becomes, how do you... All right, if you were going to try that, this is what I would do. On that acrylic base, I would get a couple of cinder blocks. I'd put a beach towel on the bottom of the base, and then I would get three or four, probably four if you can fit it, cinder blocks, and place it on the base. See what I'm trying to do? I'm putting a counterweight on top of that acrylic base. And then, if you can go with a little flashlight and you drill a big enough hole, like if you're going to, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to take a piece of baseboard out and drill a hole and then cover it back up with baseboard, drill a big enough hole so you can see what the heck you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And then work your way back and just watch it and play around with it. I mean, if this is what you want to try and do with that fire stop material, I know exactly what you're talking about. That actually probably would work. But if it doesn't work, if it works, you're golden. If it doesn't, you're replacing the base.
Yeah.
Right?
And the tile and everything else.
Well, yeah. I mean... So it...
Okay, you talked about PermaSeal. You brought them up. Would they want this little of a job?
No way. Because it's not, because it's an inside that they don't use this product for that. It's not the purpose.
Right.
Their people aren't trained for this. And so I only bring it up as the product that they use. And the question becomes, could you use that for this? You probably could, but it wouldn't be something that, that would work properly. So try that. You got nothing. Well, you got plenty to lose. But if you're really trying to do this yourself, you got to come up with something that can support it underneath there. And I'm going to do a little digging, and I'll probably have an answer for you next week. Okay. Appreciate the phone call. By the way, this hour of House Smarts Radio is brought to you by Dykstra Home Services and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. But right now, it's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thank you, Lou. I love the clean, crisp look of white, like the new just-in and in-stock Prior Creek white shaker cabinets built right here in the USA. Love that, too. Their frameless construction and full extension drawers come fully assembled, ready to take home and install the same day. White is a great neutral color for kitchens or baths, especially if it saves you a lot of green. And Tom's price on these versatile cabinets won't be beat. Get the best value for your money and stop in to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet today.
Think about it. When's the last time you had your furnace professionally cleaned? High-efficiency furnaces, they need more than just a dust and clean. They need a professional tune-up. Call Dykstra Home Services for their preseason special. For only $89, they'll completely service your furnace. You'll be ready for winter. Give them a call at 800-421-3220 or visit DykstraHomeServices.com. They also have affordable maintenance agreements available. The number again, 800-421-3220 or DykstraHomeServices.com. Dykstra Home Services, Chicagoland's premier heating and cooling company for over 94 years. Warmer weather in Chicagoland means it's home improvement season. ComEd wants you to know that electricity can jump from a power line to you and the tools you're using. So always maintain a safe distance from any power lines when you climb up on a ladder or work on or around your home. Now, if you can't keep a safe distance, well, you can call ComEd and they can de-energize the power lines. They want you and your next commercial project or your DIY project to be successful. And most importantly, to be safe, stay smart, and stay safe and stay back. ComEd, powering lives. 8:21 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and speak with Tom, who's in Inverness. Hey, Tom, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. Hey, I really enjoy your show. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling.
I've listened all the time, but I've not heard this particular one come up, so I figured I'd have to call you. I have a light outside of the garage on each side of the garage doors.
Okay.
And I thought I was pretty clever and installed photocells to turn them on and off during the night and day. The one light burns out real quickly, a few days or a week. Any idea why that happens?
The photocells that you put in, are they part of the fixture, or what? Tell me about the photocells.
I just bought them at the whatever store.
No. But in other words, it's a fixture that has a photocell built in, and then you screw in a light bulb?
No, I actually drilled a hole into the bottom of the fixture below the light bulb and had let the photocell protrude through there and wired it into the wiring.
Okay, this is my guess. And so which way is the photocell facing? Down? Front? Back?
Downward, yeah.
Okay.
It's facing downward, and the light bulb is above the fixture.
Right. So I bet you what's happening is the direction of the photocell is it's dark enough that it's bleeding a little bit of... And tell me one other thing. What kind of light bulbs are you using?
I've tried LEDs. I started with incandescent. So I've done a couple of different bulbs, and it doesn't change the function.
I think that what you have going on here is that the photocell is bleeding some electricity into the bulb. And so with an LED bulb, you'll burn it out really quickly because it's a diode. And if it gets a little bit of energy bleed from it, it's like it's trying to start, you know, but it's just not enough to start it.
Right.
And then it burns out the diode. The same would be true for an incandescent or a halogen bulb, where it's just enough filament that, you know, it's not lighting, you can't see it, but it's throwing some energy in there, and then it'll burn it out.
Uh-huh.
So my guess is it's the placement of the photocell. So the problem is, now you take that out and you re-drill it, or maybe that was the only spot you had to do it. Let's try this.
Right.
So, you know, we were talking earlier on our Noodaloo 2, Lindsay talked about this Fight UV wand. Well, Fight is a big manufacturer of light bulbs. They make a photocell light bulb. So it's a light bulb that has the photocell built into the bulb. And so as a test, why don't you buy those bulbs, disconnect your photocell,
right?
Leave it there, but just do the wiring, have it direct. I assume the switch that the switch that you have on these lights is just a switch, right? It's not a dimmer or anything like that.
Yep, just a switch in the utility room.
Right. So these bulbs, I think, are going to cost you $10 a piece, maybe, you know, because they've got this built-in thing. Put them in the fixture, and let's try that as a test. Save the receipt. If there's a problem, you can always return the bulbs and the box, you know, but they make a dawn-to-dusk bulb. It's all built into the technology of the bulb, and that's what I would try.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay, the other thing I was thinking of doing would be just taking that out and putting, I think you can get timers that can replace the switch.
Oh, yeah.
House.
Oh, you can totally do that. Absolutely.
So,
I mean, if you wanted to do that, no question, you could just take it all out and put a timer. Woods, W-O-O-D-S, makes such a switch. It would be, you'd put that in where the switch goes. It is a what kind of switches do you have in the house? Are they conventional switches, or are they rocker switches?
Just conventional switches.
Okay, so Woods, that Woods company, makes a timer that you don't even have to wire. It goes over the switch plate, and the timer is built in, and it's a mechanical device that actually flips the switch. You put two AA.
Okay, I'll look for that.
You put two AA batteries in there, and you take one or two of the screws out of the switch plate. It covers the switch, mm-hmm. and you can still manually override it. You know, there's a button on the face of it, and there was another company that's no longer in business called Autocron, and I have used the mechanical switches. They actually invented it, and then Woods kind of took their idea. But I've been using those mechanical switches for 14 years, and they just work and work and work. And you change the AA batteries like once every couple of years, because it's not like it gets used a ton, you know?
Right.
Maybe go,
okay,
you know what?
Great.
Maybe do that. That, you know what? I like that idea better. Buy the Woods mechanical. Right. Buy the Woods mechanical timer. That'll cost you $20. Put LED bulbs mm-hmm. in there so you never have to change them again. Disconnect the photo cells, and you're good to go.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lou.
Look at us figuring things out. I like that we can figure things out while we're on the radio. I like that. 877-2134-LOU. Let's talk with Paul, who's in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Paul, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Say, I'm putting a shop up in my yard. I have 2 acres, and I'm putting a kind of a man shop up for my cars. And it's nice. Going to be 30 by 50 feet. And I just want to ask you about construction of it.
Okay.
I had a builder come over, and he does post and beam?
Yep.
Type of...
He's gonna build you a pole barn. He's going to build you a pole barn.
Pole barn, exactly.
Right.
I asked him about doing a frame, you know, 16 on center. He goes, well, what the price of construction materials now? And he says sheathing has gone through the roof, literally, prices of it. He says it's less expensive to do, you know, a pole barn. Do you agree with that?
Oh, it's definitely less expensive. I mean, with a pole barn, you know, he's probably going to use 4x4, you know, they'll pour a slab, and then they typically will, you
yep.
know, they'll put the posts in, and they'll typically be 4x4s. I think they put them 4 feet on center. And then you're going to do yeah. like a metal, like some type of metal siding on the outside, right? That's what he talked about?
Yeah.
Are you going to?
Exactly. Yeah, it'll tie back the outside and then put metal on the outside.
And then you'll do some sort of insulation on the inside? Do you want to be able to heat the place?
He said the walls can be R19 with a pole barn. And if I framed it, I'd only get maybe R13 out of the
yeah.
walls. So
yeah.
it's better insulation. Yeah. And then he's going to do the ceiling, you know, 2 to 2.5 feet below in. It's going to be fully insulated, but he said it's less expensive to do the pole barn. But I just, as far as lasting 20, 30, 40 years, pole barns, are they just as good as doing a frame
100%.
Building?
Look, you're up in Whitewater, Wisconsin, right? If you drive 5 feet going the other way, you'll find a
exactly.
bunch of pole barns that are up there that have been there forever. So, I mean, you know, a pole
yep.
barn is the version of a barn. I mean, it is a barn, but it just doesn't
right.
have a mansard roof on it. So I have zero issue with you doing a pole barn, especially where mm-hmm. you're at from a construction standpoint, from a usage standpoint. You know, if you're going to put cars in there and do that kind of stuff, I think that you would be absolutely happy with that. You just, again, it's all about the people that you get to build it. Make sure that this person has a lot of experience. And if he or she can give you references of pole barns that he's built 10 years ago, go out and see that guy. If they're happy about it, they'll tell you all about it. Oh, yeah, Jimmy was great, and he did this, and blah, 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 and I keep my tractors in here, and I, you know, whatever, I have my antiques or whatever it is. And I'm more concerned with talking with somebody that had something built 5 to 10 years ago and take the time to speak with them so that you have the peace of mind that you're making the right decision. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, guess what? It's 8:30 in the morning. It's time now for WGN Radio News. Robert R. Andreas was a World War II veteran who served in the 82nd Airborne Division. In 1956, Robert became a bricklayer in Cicero. A few years later, Robert began to focus on concrete and with his sons Bobby, Brad, and Byron, Robert Andreas and Sons Concrete Contractors was born. Now, in the beginning, it was his three sons and a laborer doing all the work by hand. Today, Robert Andreas and Sons is a company with state-of-the-art equipment that can handle the smallest residential project all the way up to the largest industrial or commercial job. As owners, Byron oversees the company's operations, while Debbie, his sister, oversees the company's administration. She's really the hardest working one. Byron's daughter, Sarah, third generation, handles sales and marketing. You know what? Fall is the ideal time to have Andreas and Sons install or repair your driveway, sidewalk, patio, or steps. Do yourself a favor. Contact Andreas and Sons, a true family-owned business. Call 708-863-5735 or visit AndreasConstruction.com.
Now back to your host, your handyman hero, Lou Manfredini in House Smarts Radio.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
Recognition of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling at Lindeman.com and by First Alert. Protect your whole home with reliable protection you can trust.
I can go. I owe my soul to the company store.
877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, though, I do want to take a few minutes. I mentioned the fact that we were going to be talking with a couple of different people as it pertains to Fire Safety Month in the month of October. Joining me on the phone line right now is Michael Bodart, who is the president of the Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling Company. Michael, so nice to talk with you once again. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou, and good morning, Lindsay. Good to be on today.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. We got a lot to talk about. Michael, you and I have known each other for a number of years, and we know that the Lindeman Chimney Company has been around for over 50 years. Before we talk about that, I do want to touch a little bit on the new business that you guys just launched, your heating and cooling company. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Lou, thanks for asking. We had thought about this idea for a number of years. As you know, the chimney and fireplace business is pretty seasonal. And we had done some fireplace remodeling projects. We do a lot of masonry projects to kind of even out our calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
We always thought that heating and cooling was one of those very closely associated businesses that had a little bit of counter-cyclical business model. So it was an attractive proposition for that. We are in a lot of homes every year. We realize we're in a lot of basements, looking at appliance venting issues because appliances vent through chimneys primarily. Mm-hmm. We're on a lot of roofs. We're at homes all year round, and we were finding ourselves really referring a lot of heating and air conditioning issues to local companies. And we thought, you know, that is something that's close enough to our, you know, center skill set that it was something that we wanted to consider. So we had launched a program this year, hired some, you know, super seasoned veterans, some of the best in the business, brought them onto our team at the beginning of the year. And we have since launched that division. So we do full service for heating and air conditioning. We do boilers. We do all the things that are in customers' homes that are, you know, heating their homes, cooling their homes, and venting through chimneys and other ways. So it's been really good. It's been it's something that I think we probably should have started a couple of years ago, but it's going fantastic.
That's great. I mean, it's always nice to hear. I mean, certainly, you know, launching a brand new business in the middle of a crazy year like we have this year has to be a daunting task. But it is nice to hear that that it's going well. And I think that, you know, part of your potential clients is, you know, knowing you, and I've known you for a number of years, and I know the type of business that you run and the care and the attention to detail that you guys put forth in your chimney business and the chimney remodeling and all that kind of stuff. you know, you can know that that same type of commitment is going to be there with this new business. So congratulations to that. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, it has been a good fit, and it was crazy. I mean, you know, we started literally March 1st. That was the plan, and everybody knows what happened in this calendar year. So we were wondering what was going on, but it's going good. We've climbed out of, you know, a pretty big hole that a lot of trades companies found themselves in coming out of the first quarter. But, you know, we're busy. It's incredible. All of our customers get that limited experience when they call in and get scheduled, and the follow-ups and all of that has been intact. And so it's been a real boon for the business.
Let's talk about some fire safety stuff, and in particular in the news lately, I believe it was it Rachel Ray's house in New York that had a fire in the chimney and had sustained really bad damage. I know that made the news quite a bit, but this is serious stuff when it comes to making sure that your fireplace and your chimney is cleaned. For our listeners, Michael, can you give us an idea of how often that should be done? And then when it gets done, how is it done the right way?
Sure. And the story you're referring to is Rachel Ray, personality that has a couple of cooking shows and I think some product lines. Her house experienced a chimney fire, which is an event that can happen when a chimney that is burning solid fuel, likely wood, is being used at a long enough interval between cleanings where the byproducts of that wood burning, that combustion, throws off creosote inside that chimney flue, and the creosote can itself build up to a thickness enough so that it can actually ignite and become a fuel source. So instead of just burning wood in your fireplace, the actual coating on the inside of the flue, that is that built-up creosote, can actually catch fire itself. And that event is called a chimney fire, and it's dangerous because that fire is now burning the creosote film on the inside of the flue, and it's a super hot fire, it's an out of control fire, and it can crack those flue tiles and escape that chimney envelope. And when it does that, it can take a structure down, which is unfortunately what occurred with Rachel Ray's house. So the remedy for that and why the chimney industry exists is out of an abundance of caution and safety for keeping those events from happening. So the way you do that is by having regular cleanings. So the industry, the CSIA and the NCSG say annual cleanings and inspections is the minimum interval. So folks that are burning, like in Chicagoland, they're not burning a ton of wood because they're not usually burning wood for heat. A year is fine. But if you're a warrior and you've got a wood pile out the back, like some of your neighbors up north probably have a half an acre of wood, and they're burning, you know, cord after cord after cord, they're probably needing more than one cleaning a year because of the amount of wood that they're burning. So the rough estimate is about a cord face of wood in between cleanings. And for most Chicago customers, that's probably a year's worth. Mm-hmm. But if you're burning wood a lot, if you've got a stove, you're burning wood for heat, you may need a couple of cleanings a year.
Okay, but something I want you to touch on real quick is the fact that, okay, in that Rachel Ray example, I mean, that was something that got completely out of hand. But the majority of fireplace, like fires, right, inside of a chimney fire, that can actually be happening and go undetected, right? Because if you're not cleaning, that buildup of the creosote that you're speaking of, that could be burning in your regular fireplace on the sides and you don't even know it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's a good point. We go to houses to do cleanings, right? We clean them. We inspect them with a Bluetooth camera, right? So we're looking at the interior of that flue. We do come across customers' homes that have all of the telltale signs that they've experienced a chimney fire.
Right.
Now, it didn't break out of their flue,
right,
and it didn't involve a structure, but we will see all of that expanded creosote, which looks like kind of like gray styrofoam, and we will see evidence that the top of the chimney cap got impacted or melted or blued the stainless steel because of the jet engine type of fire event that's coming out of it. And not every customer even knows that that event happens. So it's a dangerous event. It's not always a problem
right.
where it escapes the chimney, but it does crack flue tiles. It does compromise the integrity of that venting system in a lot of cases. And it's an event that we want to really avoid by just keeping that creosote buildup to a minimum so that it doesn't ever reach the level that it can become itself a fuel source.
I want to, in closing, I want to talk about two things. One is, you and I have known each other for a long time, and one thing that I like about your approach, Michael, you as a person, is you're not Chicken Little, right? It would be really easy to come on, because this is an area when it comes to chimneys and fireplaces where, you know, people don't have an all knowledge. And it would be easy to come on here and go, oh my gosh, you got to do this all the time, and oh my God, you know, and you could be the sky's falling. You always take a very practical and realistic approach in the information that you convey. I recognize that, and I appreciate that, and I know that I'm sure that your customers appreciate that too. You're just trying to keep people safe. You sent me a picture of one other unknown thing that can happen that people may not know about, and that's and I'm going to be very careful how I say this, an ash pit. And what can happen with those ash pits if those go, you know, without an inspection or a cleaning?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a common element, and you've seen them, I'm sure, and heard about them in the construction in a lot of Chicagoland homes, right? Masonry chimneys,
mm-hmm.
fireplaces on the first floor, in the basement, down at the footing of the chimney, is a great big cavity that is underneath the firebox, and that's an ash pit. A lot of people will see like a little cast iron or a little metal hatch or doorway on the floor of their firebox, where they simply sweep those ashes into when they clean their fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one of those things that people just say, well, I'm just going to sweep these ashes in here and I don't have to think about it. Most of the time in the basement, and it's usually behind a washer and dryer now, or behind the boiler, or behind the furnace, you'll actually see an old rusty cast iron clean-out door where supposedly you could be able to bring those ashes out. But those ash pits are huge. They're like small closets. They're, if you have an 8-foot ceiling in the basement, they're 8 feet tall. They should be built totally with brick or cinder block. They're not always. The problem is that people are sometimes cleaning fireplaces, sweeping all of the remnants of their fire into that ash pit with that brush or their tools. And there can be burning embers still remaining in the floor of the firebox.
Right.
I mean, for a day or two after you have a fire, you can have an ember. The problem is you shove those burning embers down into a confined area that drops down, and it has what? It has other embers and other partially burnt pieces of wood.
Right.
So you can have a smoldering fire in there for literally days and days that should be in a confined area that is completely masonry enclosed. But as like in the picture I showed you, we've seen about everything inside ash pits. They're hard to look into. They're not accessible very easily. And the construction methods are all over the board.
Right.
So our blocking and tackling measure is to seal off that ash pit. We brick it over, we mortar it over, and we tell the folks, get an ash clean out bucket, scoop all your ashes into a metal bucket, and get that outside in the garden or wherever you're going to dispose of your ashes. But don't put those embers, potentially, in a confined area in your house that, you know, can have combustible materials in there with it. So it's a common problem to see, you know, wood where there should not be wood and all sorts of construction. I'm sure you've come across projects like that where you're scratching your head saying, this makes no sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. All right, the takeaway here is that we need to get those chimneys inspected. We need to get them cleaned, and you need to contact the Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling Company, Michael Bodart, who's the president. Michael, how do they get a hold of you, both with a phone number and online?
So best way is probably online. You can just go to lindeman.com, and that's L-I-N-D-E-M-A-N-N, two N's, lindeman.com. You can schedule an appointment instantly online right now. You can do that without a phone call. You can also give us a call. Our folks are there. We love talking to people, too, and that's 847-918-7994.
Michael, it's always nice to speak with you. My best to you and your family. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning and talking about the very critical and important work you folks do over at Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. I hope you have a terrific rest of your day.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks, Lindsay. Have a great Saturday.
You got it. Thanks so much. That's great. Really interesting stuff. Lindeman.com if you'd like more information. You know, the harsh winter combined with a rainy spring can make your deck look weathered and worn. Call DeckTech. Despite current health concerns, DeckTech can safely restore your deck. Call DeckTech today and they'll gladly leave behind a free estimate without coming in contact with your family. The entire process from start to finish is completely safe. DeckTech uses an oil-based sealer, which penetrates deep into the deck's wood fibers, replenishing the natural oils, which preserve, protect, and prevent your deck from cracking, peeling, and splitting. The DeckTech process seals out wetness, but more importantly, your deck will be restored to its original beauty. And the best part is, with DeckTech, you won't even break a sweat. Call 800-956-DECK. That's 800-956-DECK, or visit RestoreYourDeck.com. Here's a good one to pay attention to. Are your doors or windows sticking, cracks in your drywall or exterior brickwork, bowing basement walls, or uneven floors? It's me, Lou Manfredini. These can be signs and symptoms of structural issues, and that means damage to your home's foundation. Scary stuff, but don't fret. My friends over at PermaSeal can help. Give them a call today, 800-421-SEAL. Not only will you avoid paying an expensive consultation fee, but a certified structural consultant will thoroughly evaluate your foundation and offer a permanent solution at absolutely no charge. For over 40 years, PermaSeal has been committed to providing quality products and the customer service that you deserve. When the work is done, you'll have a transferable warranty. Yes, even the next homeowner will get it. That's why PermaSeal has earned an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and has a 4.9 Google rating. For structural foundation repair solutions, call PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net. PermaSeal is truly known best for being better. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our number. This is Frank, who's in Delavan. Hey, Frank, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Really enjoy you every Saturday.
Thank you, sir.
And all over the place, too. I've got a 1850 log cabin up here in Delavan, and it's got one of those crawl spaces with a door just like Dorothy's on the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
So I took a peek down there over the summer and found my vents weren't actually connected, so I reconnected my vents. But there is no insulation at all under there. It's a dirt floor. It's got a boulder foundation. And this is my project, and I want to make sure I put the plastic down right or make sure the insulation is facing the proper way. So I was looking for you for some advice.
Okay, if you're going to do this yourself, then...
I am.
And when you say it's an older foundation, is it a concrete foundation?
No, it's made of boulders and
so it's
concrete
river, it's,
in between.
Got it. So it's a river rock. So, you know, this is a little tricky thing here because I don't necessarily want to trap, because that rock and that mortar, in my opinion, in this situation, needs to breathe. So what I would do on that dirt floor is put a heavy mill plastic, a visqueen, down on the floor itself and get it to fit tightly to the foundation. Right, so you're going to cut it and make sure you can overlap it a little bit, and then you're going to put gravel or stone over the top of it like a ballast to keep it all in place. And then those vents, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it is not level. It is.
Right.
I mean, I'm vertical in some places, and so I imagine I'm going to be going up next to it and being at a 45 degree angle at some time and trying to reach up there
Well, can
and cut
you,
things
can
and try
you,
to make it precise. But
When you say that it's a dirt floor with this foundation, can you level it all off? How high is it? How high of a crawl is it?
I cannot stand in there. So it's probably about 4 feet, maybe in the center. But now then it sweeps up, and it's almost like I'm in a big gravel pit.
Right.
You know.
Well, you may need to do
so. I cannot level it all out.
Okay. Well, if you're not using that space for anything but, like you said, when Dorothy comes and we have to go hide under there, then you're going to have to take your time. You're going to have to take your time with the Visqueen. But you're going to have to, if you're not going to go down there, then maybe just on the low spots is where you put the gravel, just in case you had to go in there for some reason. But on the other sides, you're going to use, you know, they have these ground staples that you'll drive into the dirt to hold it in place. And then those vents in, I would keep open to get air circulation in there to try and keep the humidity level down. But that type of foundation needs to stay open so that it can breathe. Unless you did a total encapsulation thing, which would be a huge project, but that's what I would do in that situation. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. Quick break.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Sacrete or Quickcrete? Quickcrete. Quickcrete.
And House Smarts Radio.
And has a 4.9 Google rating.
He really does know what he's talking about. Sometimes he just has a hard time getting it out.
Joining me on the phone line is Kat Kataringala. I had it.
Ding! Ding-a-ling-a ding 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 dong.
Now back to Lou Manfredini taking your calls live.
Karingala.
There you go. You're doing great, Lou. Don't worry about it.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long.
You know, I'm the son of Italian immigrants.
All the little birds on the
English language is tough on me. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Permaseal Basement Systems. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Oh, yeah. Hold on, I got to find that. Favorite things. Let me tell you about my favorite things. You wanted me to talk about my favorite things, didn't you? All right, so let me find it. You know, this is my 25th anniversary here at WGN Radio, which is quite amazing. I mean, it really is amazing, right? I mean, I'm no Orion Samuelson, who's retiring after 60 years, but this is 25 years here at WGN Radio. I started back in 1995 as a guest on the Bob Collins Show, and in honor of my anniversary, I'm giving you the chance to win some of my favorite things each week. We're going to feature a different product or service that you can win. And congratulations to Mary Knives of Berwyn, who is the winner of last week's prize from FixMyGarage.com, a garage door opener with the latest technology installed by FixMyGarage.com. This week's prize, 5 weeks of Seattle Sutton's healthy eating, including 3 fresh and delicious ready-to-eat meals per day delivered directly to your door. Can I tell you something? Last night for dinner, my wife and I, we're just the two of us, just so you're clear, the whole empty nester thing, working out just fine. If those kids never come back, that's great.
That is not true.
Okay. Not true, but it's dramatic. So she goes, I'm gonna put your Seattle Sutton healthy eating for dinner to get better. I went, great. She puts this plate in front of me. I go, I thought you were giving me Seattle Sutton. They've like changed up the recipe. I had these chicken kebabs with, I believe it was saffron rice, and then this little chimichurri sauce, something like that.
Oh, I love chimichurri.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. I took a picture. I'm gonna send you the picture. You could post the picture. Anyway, it's delicious. Let me tell you, it's great. I'm living a healthier life because of Seattle Sutton's healthy eating. You could win 5 weeks of it. To enter to win, go to WGNradio.com/contest. That's WGNradio.com/contests. This contest ends tomorrow, Sunday at 11:59 p.m., so submit your entry today. Sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. Call 800-442-3438 or visit SeattleSutton.com to get started. And stay tuned next week when we announce the winner and the next favorite thing. 877-213-4LOU is the number. Let's go back to the phone lines now. This is Vicki who's calling in from Cary. Hi, Vicki. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yes, good morning, Lou.
Lou, I had an old asphalt driveway torn up and a new asphalt driveway put down 11 weeks ago. And the asphalt company was planning to seal coat it this Monday, October 5th. And I've been getting different recommendations on when I should have it seal coated after having a brand new asphalt driveway installed. Can you tell me when I should have it seal coated?
Well, you know, the thing is, Vicki, that typically you're going to wait, you know, the kind of the rule of thumb is when the driveway starts to gray a little bit. And the fact that it's 5 weeks ago, you know, it's probably still...
No, it's 11 weeks.
Oh, 11 weeks.
11 weeks.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. 11 weeks, okay. I have no problem with you seal coating it now. That's a pretty good chunk of time. The whole idea is that, you know, because it's a petroleum-based product, when there's a little bit of off-gassing that goes on, you want it to try and dry out a little bit. It wouldn't bother me if you went through the winter without it being seal coated. I think you'd be fine. I would stay away from any rock salt there, and it would really sort of, you know, kind of cure. But I also don't have a problem with you doing it now, you know, and that way you're super protected for the winter. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to seal coating a driveway, fall and early spring are probably two of the best times to do it. Are you happy with how the driveway looks right now?
Well, one of the problems I've noticed is that I've got some white streaks on the driveway, and I thought it might be from the fact that there was so much dust left in my garage
mm-hmm.
that I'm not sure how long after the driveway was laid. I did this. I think it was at least a week afterwards, but I did use a leaf blower to blow some dust out of the garage, and I don't know if that's what's causing the white streaking on the black asphalt. The the asphalt guy told me it was water from my AC dripping from my car onto the asphalt. And my mechanic says that is not the case. So
you're getting all you're getting all kinds of advice, aren't you? I mean, I am. I know, and it's super confusing. I understand, but I guess my question is: take away the streaking of it all. When you look at the overall condition of the asphalt, meaning that, you know, is it nice and compacted, and it's a nice consistent the aggregate and everything when you look at it. Looks good. There's no settling or anything like that.
Yes, I think that it looks good.
Okay.
My worry is after doing some research, I canceled that October 5th seal coating because I read that you were supposed to wait about 9 months to a year.
Let's wait until the spring. Let's do this. You don't have to wait that long, but let's wait until, let's do this in April, okay? Let's get a couple of days in April when we know it's going to be dry. Be careful about the ice melt that you use. If you're going to use any of that, stay away from rock salt. Don't let it pile up in an area. If you notice that you put a little too much down, broom it off a little bit over the winter. You'll be fine waiting till the spring. It'll cure. You'll get all the grease and everything out of there. Then they can clean it. If there's little cracks that occur, those would happen anyway, whether it's seal coated or not. They can fill those in and do the seal coating, and then it'll look beautiful for all spring and summer. And that's what I would recommend that you do. Okay? Let's try that, and I think that's a good course of action. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:17 in the morning. When we come back, we're going to talk with somebody from First Alert about safety equipment that you should have in your home to make sure that you're keeping you and your family safe, not only during Fire Prevention Month, but all year long and years to come. Don't go away. More House Smarts Radio coming up right after this.
WGN.
Hi,
Hi, this is Jen Malazzo. Was your furnace broken at the end of last winter and you decided to let it go until this year to get it fixed? Guess what? It's still broken. Call us at Dykstra Home Services now for a pre-season price on a new Carrier high-efficiency gas furnace. Up to 98% efficient. Call 800-421-3220 or contact us at DykstraHomeServices.com. Take advantage now of 5-year 0% financing. 800-421-3220 or visit DykstraHomeServices.com. Dykstra Home Services, Chicagoland's premier heating and cooling company for over 94 years.
Warmer weather in Chicagoland means it's home improvement season. ComEd wants you to know that electricity can jump from power line to you and the tools you're using. So always maintain a safe distance from any power line when you climb up on a ladder to work on or around your home. Now, if you can't keep a safe distance, you can call ComEd at 1-800-EDISON-1 to have them de-energized. They want your next commercial or DIY project to be successful and, most importantly, safe. Stay smart. Stay safe, stay back. ComEd, powering lives. I'm really excited to be celebrating my 25th year on WGN Radio by sharing one of my favorite things, Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. You know, after a doctor's appointment, I knew it was time for a change. I needed to improve my overall health. I wanted to look and feel better, and I did it by starting on Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. After about, well, more than a year, I'm maintaining a 30-pound weight loss with support from Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. I'm living a healthier life. I lost weight and I kept it off. I feel so much better. If you want to lose weight, feel better, and would enjoy the convenience of delicious meals delivered to your door, I encourage you to try one of my favorite things, Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. Call them now at 800-442-3438. Their food is fresh, never frozen, and delicious. The meals arrive at your home ready to enjoy with never any contracts or gimmicks. Call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, 800-442-3438, or visit seattlesutton.com to get started today. Okay, we were talking that today's show, we've been focusing a lot about fire safety, and we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, there's all these terrific devices that you can purchase to have in your home, but they need to work. Joining me on the phone line right now is Ashley Gokin, who is the brand and PR manager over at First Alert. Ashley, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning. This is a critical thing because I think for a lot of us, when it comes to safety devices in our home that have to do with carbon monoxide, smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, people think that they know everything there is to know about it, but I also think that people can get apathetic about it and forget. And I know that, you know, we try and remind people in October, but in my mind, you know, fire safety is an everyday type of thing. It's not just in October. Let's talk a little bit about First Alert, a little bit history lesson about who you folks are.
Yes, so First Alert, we've been protecting homes and families for over 60 years, and we have smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and of course, fire extinguishers.
Right. And I mean, we now, more than ever, are spending a heck of a lot more times in our home, in particular with COVID. And you guys have done some research on that to kind of see what's going on there.
Yeah, so we know that 91% of consumers considered fire safety a top concern in the initial months of the pandemic and continue to think that. So especially going into October, which is fire prevention month, it's the perfect time to gather your family to discuss fire safety, to make sure you have the proper protection in your home. So smoke and carbon monoxide alarms should be installed on every level and in every bedroom, and then we can't forget about the basement.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I know the consumers can be maybe confused about is, you know, when you go to the hardware store and you look at all the different kinds, there's all these different price points when it comes to these devices. But the one thing that I think is critical for people to know is that while there are different features that some of these devices have, which can affect the cost of it, the actual part where it's detecting the smoke or it's detecting the carbon monoxide, that is consistently high quality across any of the devices, correct?
Yeah, so no matter what type of alarm you have in your home, it's important that you install them, you maintain them by testing them regularly, and you mentioned there's a bunch of different types. There's battery, there's hardwire. My favorite...
Oh,
you eliminate battery replacements and those late night battery trips that nobody wants to have for a decade. And then after 10 years, you just replace the unit completely.
Yeah, your phone just cut out quickly. You were talking about the fact that now the sort of the industry is going to these 10-year batteries, right? They're using the lithium-ion technology. And so is that also available for some of the hardwired smoke detectors and carbon detectors that people have?
Yeah, so for hardwire, there's 10-year sealed battery backup. So if you do have a power outage, you'll still be protected with that 10-year battery backup.
Yeah, and I mean there, you know, I mentioned earlier today that I just replaced some of the smoke detectors and what I did, and they were all First Alert, by the way. But I'm very deliberate about it, and so I wrote with a marker. I know there's spots on the back of the detector, but I wrote with a magic marker on there 2020 so that I know, because this is another thing too, Ashley, right? These things don't last forever. I mean, the one nice thing about the 10-year sealed battery with the lithium ion, it's like, okay, in 10 years, the battery needs to be replaced, but so does the device. That's an important thing to tell people.
Yes, alarms are on duty 24/7, and so they have to be replaced at least every 10 years.
Yeah. You know, one of the statistics that I hate reading about and hearing about is when you hear about fires that occur, and you'll hear the news story where they say there wasn't a working smoke detector in the home, and that's a higher number than it should be.
Yeah, so 3 out of 5 home fire deaths occur in homes without properly working smoke alarms or no alarms at all. So it's so important that you have those alarms on every level and in every bedroom and you maintain them.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about two other things that are super important. One is a fire escape plan, and the other is fire extinguishers. Fire extinguishers are one of those things that people can be a little off put by, right? They're like, I don't need that, or I don't want that, but this is an affordable safety item.
Yeah, fire extinguishers are so important, especially if you're cooking more. So it's so important that you have a fire extinguisher within reach and you know how to use it. And an easy way to remember how to use a fire extinguisher is with the acronym PASS. So that stands for pull the pin, aim at the base of the fire, squeeze the nozzle, and then sweep from side to side.
Mm. We were talking earlier. You know what I want you guys to develop? This is a good idea. I want a practice fire extinguisher that you can make available to like hardware stores, and something that we could fill it with. Where if someone's like, "Have you ever used a fire extinguisher before?" Because most people haven't, and you could take them outside.
Yes.
You could take them outside, and you could have them squeeze it to kind of get the feel of what it is. Now, Don Kleppen, who does our news, says that if you could fill it with silly string, then we could make it a lot of fun. But I don't know how we would keep replacing that with silly string. But it's an idea that I think that a lot of people, we did a quick poll this morning. My producer, Lindsay, Joe Brand, who does sports, mm-hmm. Don, who does the news. These are all young people have never used a fire extinguisher before. And I think for the vast majority of people, That's the concern, right? They've never used it. They maybe think they know, and I think practicing would really help people understand how this thing gets used. But I like an acronym PASS. I do like that.
Yes, using a fire extinguisher can be very intimidating, especially when there's a fire right in front of you.
Right.
So if you just remember the acronym PASS, it makes it maybe a little bit easier to remember mm-hmm. how to use it and stay calm.
Yeah. Let's talk real quick about a home fire escape plan, because that I think is super important, especially with families that have young children.
Yes. So it's so important that you gather your family and you practice your emergency escape plan at least twice a year. So plan 2 ways out of each room and then plan a meeting spot outside a safe distance from your home. So everybody knows where to meet if there is an emergency. And one point I will make is never go back into your home. If there is a fire, call 911 outside and then wait until it's all clear.
Oh, 100%. That's such good advice. Really good advice. Ashley Gokin is the brand and PR manager for First Alert. Their products are available a lot of different retailers, but I also know that you have a terrific website with a bunch of information. Where do people go to learn more?
Yes, so you can find out more about First Alert products, and we also have some educational materials for Fire Prevention Month that you can do at home at firstalert.com.
That's awesome. Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Keep up the good work over there at First Alert. And then the next time you're in the meeting with the bigwigs, bring up the whole thing about the practice, the practice fire extinguisher. I'm fine with it being water, but Don wants it to be with silly string. So you guys decide.
With silly string.
Silly string or confetti, you know, or something like that. It could be fun. All right. You have a nice,
yes,
you have a nice
you
Saturday.
So much.
Thank you. You did a nice job. It is 9:30 in the morning. It's time now for WGN Radio News.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy. Look.
It's that easy.
And sent.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and Hub Smarts Radio. It's so funny.
Our Just Text Me segment is sponsored by Robert R. Andreas and Sons Concrete Construction. You got some text messages we can talk about this morning?
I sure do. This is from Tom. He says, what do you think of AeroSeal for air duct cleaning?
Oh, my gosh. I love
sealing, I'm saying.
I love AeroSeal. I was one of the, did our house years ago with the AeroSeal, and it was a huge, the difference in the airflow and temperature that came out of the vents, because I had an older house with the new system, and they were kind of married together, and the old ductwork, because it was from, you know, probably, oh gosh, there was a there were boilers, but some of there was an air handler stuff that was probably at least at the time 30 years old. Unbelievable difference. It is not an inexpensive proposition, but have the ductwork cleaned, do the AeroSeal, and you will be happy that you did. And I believe it to be a value-added proposition when you go to sell the house.
Great.
Text number two.
Next, how often should gas fireplaces have the chimney cleaned?
So the thing with gas, if you're not burning, you know, fuel that creates creosote, it's not as critical to have it cleaned. I'm not going to say never, but I would have it inspected, say, every 5 to 7 years. They may not clean it at all, but they'll run a camera up there just to make sure. And I'm going to add something. We were talking about fire safety with the lady from First Alert, and I got a text message that said, how do you know if you're going to use a fire extinguisher as to when you could call the fire department? So in other words, Lindsay, let's say, God forbid, you had something on the stove and you had a grease fire or something and you grabbed the fire extinguisher and now you go to extinguish it and it's not going out. Here's my rule of thumb. If you cannot extinguish that fire in 5 seconds with the fire extinguisher, get out of the house and call 911. That's how quickly it is. Now think about that. There's a fire. You grab that fire extinguisher. You pull that trigger, and you count to five. You're just like what Ashley said, that pass sweeping, start at the base, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you cannot extinguish that fire in 5 seconds, maybe I'll go to 7. Get out of the house and call 911. And I think that if you talk to most firefighters, they would tell you the same thing. Text message number 3.
Hey, Lindsay. Love the show. You do a good job. I'm guessing sometimes it's hard to keep Lou on track. Ha ha.
Are you making that up? Are you just making all that up?
No.
No? Okay.
And you know what? I replied to her and I said, you have no idea.
Okay. That's our Just Text Me
Love
segment.
You.
Sponsored by Andreas and Sons Concrete Construction. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4567. By the way, in recognition of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by First Alert. Protect your whole home with reliable protection you can trust. And by Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. You can go to Lindeman.com to find out more. Let's go back to the phone lines now and talk with Rosemary. Rosemary, good morning. Or is it Rosemary? Rosemary, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a refrigerator that has a freezer on the bottom, and it was not closed for almost 20 hours.
Oh, no.
I pulled it out, and it is all frosted up. It looks like it snowed in there.
Yeah.
So I just closed it, and then that was about 6 o'clock last night. So I opened it now, and it looks the same. How do I defrost a self defrosting unit.
You need to, well, so what you need to do is, let me ask you this, Rosemary. Do you have the way to turn off the refrigerator freezer without unplugging it?
Well, I thought that, you know, you have your levels of the freezer, and it's on 4, which it says to leave it on 4.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe if I just turned it down as far as it would go, probably to 1 or 0, would that do anything?
No, you need to, I don't know if there's a 0, but the thing, let me ask you this. What brand of refrigerator freezer do you have?
Okay, it's a Maytag, and it's about 3 years old.
Okay, so that unit has one compressor. So the thing that makes the freezer cold and the thing that makes the refrigerator cold is one compressor. And so you need to take all the food out of there and put it in...
Out of what? Wait a minute. Out of the freezer?
Well, out of both of them, because you're going to defrost everything. And you're going to open up the door on the fridge, and you're going to pull the drawer open on the freezer and put a beach towel or a towel at the floor, because you may get a little water coming out. And if you can find the circuit breaker that is in that controls the refrigerator, I would turn that way. You don't have to pull the fridge out and try and unplug it. If you just kill the power on the circuit breaker, then we need to let that defrost probably for 6 to 7 hours.
Oh,
I know. And then once it defrosts, then you can close it all back up. If you put everything in a cooler or coolers, I don't know how much food you have, or would you happen to have a separate refrigerator?
The freezer is full, of course.
Of course. Do you have another?
That's probably why it wasn't shut.
Do you have another freezer in the house or no?
Yes, I have one down in the basement that I can probably put. I hope I can get most of it in
there.
Here's
the thing. If you pull all that out, and you open it all up now, so we're almost 10 o'clock now, by 5 o'clock this evening, and you put it all back together, you should be in pretty good shape.
Okay.
All right.
My question now is, did anything thaw? Because when I opened it, it was just it's so full of frost.
Well, I mean, I can't answer that. My guess is when it was closed, when you said it wasn't closed all the way, what was it, just maybe a couple inches open?
You know, I really don't know, because I'm not the one that...
Left it open. One more thing. When did you find out that it was open?
Around 6 o'clock last night, and I figured out it had to happen the night before.
Okay, but when you noticed that, did you happen to check the food then?
No, because it's all full of this frost. It's snow. I mean, it's just full of it.
Okay, but in other words, you didn't grab anything to find out if it was frozen at that point. You just saw the frost.
Oh, yes, I did.
It was frozen? And it was frozen?
Yes.
You're fine.
Okay.
Take it all out, put it in the freezer downstairs, open everything up, and let it defrost at 5 o'clock, turn the breaker back on, and then put the food back in there, and I think you'll be good to go. Rosemary, thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4. Lou, we'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Got a question for Lou? No better time than the present.
The refrigerator is always getting dirty. I get a fingerprint on it, and I get yelled at.
He's taking your calls live right now.
I don't know if it's mold, mildew, or what. I can't get rid of it.
Back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 9:48 in the morning, 877-213-4. Lou, Donna is on the line. Donna, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
How may I help you?
Okay, I have a problem with a beehive that is behind my siding of my house. And I've had pest control come out, and they've sprayed probably about 4 times. The bees have gotten into my basement, but once they get in my basement, they're dead. And I'm not talking about 1 or 2. I'm talking about hundreds.
Oh, wow.
Now, I think, you know, they're... So the pest control really isn't helping me. I mean, they've killed the bees, but now I'm very concerned about this hive that's back there.
Right.
And what's going to happen, you know, the colder weather, it's probably killed them off, and what's going to happen in the spring, and I thought about...
Well, wait. Hold on 1 second. Donna, the hive, do they know where the hive is?
Well, you can't see it. I mean, I know where the bees are going in.
Right.
But I don't know how high up the hive is.
Okay, but the issue is that the exterminator has come. They have treated this all. You're not seeing any more bees, or you are still seeing bees?
Well, you know, I haven't... They were here on Thursday. I haven't actually gone outside to see if the bees are still flying around.
Okay.
In the last few days. I mean, as of last Sunday, there were still a ton of bees flying around and getting into my basement. And I thought about taking part of my siding off, but the problem is that it goes into my built-in deck, enclosed deck.
On the other side of where they were spraying, if I'm inside the house, what room am I in?
It's the basement.
It's the basement. So the bees are coming in low.
Yes.
Okay. But, okay. I mean, I think that there's a couple things to the exterminator didn't happen to mention what kind of bees they are, right?
No, the sheet says yellow jacket wasp.
Okay, so they're wasps. All right. As far as the hive goes, you know, if they treat this and they really treat it well, they're probably going to eliminate the issue. It's not going to be a problem for you. And if the hive remains in the wall, I don't think you're going to have any issue with odor or anything like that. But you, with eliminating hives like this, what's really important is that there's got to be consistency in the treatment. It usually isn't something that you're going to eliminate on the first try. It's going to take several applications. And so if they've been by a couple times and they've treated this, it may be that you need to treat it one more time. The thing is if they don't destroy the whole hive initially in the winter, they huddle in there and they stay warm. And so they just have to treat it maybe one or two more times with the appropriate material to eliminate that hive. And then from there, we got to patch any kind of holes that may be there to keep them from coming back.
Right. Well, they did take the insulation where the bees seem to be coming in. They took the insulation down and they're not seeing any hives there.
Okay. And did they treat that area as well?
Yes.
Okay.
They've been out about four times.
Okay, here's what I would do. I mean, as you mentioned, you haven't been outside to see if they're flying around. If you go out there now and you see they're still flying around, I mean, it's kind of cold today. But then if you still see them, then you need them to come back one more time. And they need to treat this. It isn't the type of thing that if you've got a larger hive that gets eliminated one time only, it has to happen under multiple applications. Otherwise, you just won't eliminate them. And then if it's a yellow jacket wasp thing like that, you can eliminate that hive and not have to worry about it, and then patch everything up down the line, and you should be good to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:52 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. You know, if you have moss, mold, mildew, or algae growing on hard-to-reach places like roofs, second-story siding, or even your awnings, you should pick up Wet and Forget's Extreme Reach Hose End. Wet and Forget's no-scrub outdoor cleaner attaches to your garden hose and has a nozzle that sprays up to 30 feet. Wet and Forget's hose end easily cleans places you normally couldn't reach without climbing up on a ladder, all with no scrubbing, rinsing, or dealing with pressure washers. You just spray it on and you're done. Just wet it and forget it. Just like the name says, every time it rains, Wet and Forget gently cleans that black and green stuff off of all of your outdoor surfaces, including brick, stucco, stone, decks, sidewalks, driveways, and more. Each bottle cleans up to a whopping 2,000 square feet. Yep, you heard that right. 2,000 square feet. Make cleaning easy. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget at Ace, Menards, Meijer, or Blaine's Farm and Fleet Just visit wetandforget.com to find a store near you. It's 9:56 in the morning. We just have a few minutes left. We got maybe one more call, but I tell you what, that last caller, we're going to send him out a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design-build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. If you're working remotely and don't have enough room, let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or you can call them at 773-661-0606. Let's make sure we give Barbara, who's in Des Plaines, one of those hats. Barbara, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call, Lou.
Sure. How may I help you?
Well, I have a need for a small cement job, just one step stoop leading to the front door and a little piece of a sidewalk leading to that step. I wonder if you can recommend some cement companies that could, so I could compare estimates.
Well, I mean, I can give you one that is a sponsor of our show, which is Robert R. Andreas & Sons Concrete.
Yes.
And so you could definitely give them a call. And so that would be a place that I would start. If you wanted to find other concrete contractors, then I think that what I would do is send you to the NARI website, which is NARI.org. NARI.org would be a place where you could find members of the association that you could contact. If you want, I can give you the phone number of Andreas Construction.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
708.
Yes.
863.
Yes.
5735.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I would,
okay.
I would,
other than that, then just to contact the NARI.org.
So if you go, if you go there and you plug in your zip code, you'll be able to find contractors that are in your area that may be able to provide you with an estimate to do that work. You know, it's always tough to get on those smaller projects, you know, to get people to come out. But, you know, you just got to find the right people to do the work. And if it's the type of thing that you want to do this year, you certainly can do it. As long as we don't get a hard freeze or frost, you know, you can definitely do this work, you know, well into December, if not January, depending on, you know, the kind of winter that we have. It's certainly mild enough to do all that now.
Happy trails.
Okay.
All right. Thank
well,
you
thank
so
you.
Thank you so much for calling. We are just running out of time. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Don and Joe, thanks so much for helping out this morning. Lindsay, thanks for producing. Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons and keeping us sounding great on the air. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Remember, the show continues for another hour. If you want to call 877-213-4-LOU. Happy to help you if I can. Have a great weekend.